W2GPT, would anyone like to take the role for the tech man?
Sorry, Gordon, I have trouble writing.
Stand by. Okay, this is W2TTT. I'll tell you what, Noel, why don't you call up the net and I'll take the notes because I'm in a noisy spot.
Okay. And this is the regular Thursday night technical net on the 146.955 repeater. Tone is 141.3. A lot of people check in by EchoLink, so we're going to leave a fuck after each transmission of about 5 seconds in case somebody's trying to check in because they can't check in while we're still talking. I'd like to thank the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club. Oh, sorry, just wait. The repeater group, producer repeater. And the first, any mobile stations other than Gordon.
K2BAR, AA2NI, still mobile, Nico.
Thank you, Nico. Do you have any questions or comments for the net?
Sorry about that. None of the above.
I try to write it down because I'm writing with my whole hand because I can't put the pen between my finger and my thumb. I have to put it in myself. Okay, anybody else who's mobile? Okay, anybody whose call begins with the letter K? Same K.
K2BAR, this is K2ZO. No questions, but I do have one comment.
Okay, I'll put you down for a seat. Anybody else with a K?
Tony, K2AMI, with a comment.
Okay, Tony with a comment. Anybody else with a K?
K2ZC, Dave, no questions, no comment.
Okay. Anybody with a KAKBKC?
This is KC2TBD. No questions. No comments.
Okay. This is my making it good enough. I have to run it at 5 watts. Okay. Anybody with an N or an A call other than Nico? Anybody with a plain W call?
To JEK, none, no questions or comments.
Ray, W2CH, none of the above.
Okay, Ray, W2CH. Anybody else with a plain W?
No questions, no comments.
Okay, it was a nice double. The one that said no questions, no comments, please come.
W1AU, Bill.
The name is Rick. I have no questions or comments.
Okay, W1AU, I got you. Rick, may I please have your call?
K2BAR, this is W2LCN. The name here is Rick.
I hope Gordon's writing this down because I can barely read my own writing. Anybody with a WAWBWC? Anybody who hasn't checked in yet?
KO2, okay. No questions, no comments.
Thank you, Bennett. Anybody else?
W2JEK, did you get me? I never got an acknowledgement.
Don, I got you as the first of the W's. Anybody else besides Don? Gee, and I was going to check in with two questions and a comment. Okay. Top of the list is K2ZO Jim with a comment.
Okay, K2BAR. This is K2ZO. Alrighty. I just wanted to comment on something that I've been just got. I'm playing with it. It's a smart little device for measuring a current, and it doesn't have a lossy shunt or anything in it. It uses a solid-state device, and it'll calculate current, power, power being drawn, state of a battery, and you can put 100 amps through this little baby. It continually reads voltage, and it's quite a little magic little box. Comes with power poles on it, and if you go to PowerWerks, PowerWerx.com, you can look up this little baby and see what it is. It's rather remarkable. We'll do some more tests with it. It's called a Dr. Watson DC Power Analyzer. Part number is R102-BK. There are some others that are out by the people that make the power poles, but this one is far more sophisticated, and it's not too expensive. And it's a pretty neat little gadget. You can plug your radio into it. It'll tell you how many watts of energy your radio is using, which is very, very nice to see what's going on. And, of course, it'll continuously read your voltage, and it'll remember all of these parameters. It has a microprocessor in it. Pretty neat little package here. So take a look at it at PowerWerks, W-E-R-X.com. And this thing is listed over there under the section on accessories for batteries and things like that. So that's it. Back to net. This is K2ZO.
Thank you, Jim. Tony, K2MI. This is K2BR. You're next.
Okay, my comments are just about what's coming up for the big weekend. And, of course, Gordon's friends, the Explorer Troop Venture Crew 7373, I think it's called, is going to have a ham fest over at St. John's Condon Hall, which is behind St. John's Church in Bergenfield. And that's early on Saturday morning. Ham fest and flea market type thing. Let's make it a success for the boys. And then on Sunday, of course, rain or shine, we will have the Barra picnic starting at 10 o'clock and running to about 3 o'clock. And that's at Wooddale Park up in, it's actually called Woodcliff Lake, but it's the extreme edge area of Woodcliff Lake, but basically it's straight up Kinderkamack Road. A right turn when you pass the Blue Moon Restaurant. Can't think of the name of the street, but just those two items for comments right now. Back to Ned.
Thank you, Tony. Anybody else got any questions or comments before I ask mine?
Yeah, what happens if there's a big rainstorm, Tony? This is W2JEK.
Well, we've rented a pavilion, and all the picnic operations can be held under the picnic. I'd recommend you would wear appropriate gear. I don't think it requires boots or raincoats, but some sort of hat and rain cover would help if you have to travel around. But most of the picnic can be held under the pavilion.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions or comments? Okay, I have two questions. The first question will be, the second question will be on a Carolina Wyndham 40, which is on the Radio Works website, and it's about the antenna. If you want to look it up, it's not the Max, it's just plain old Carolina Wyndham 40. It's 66 feet long. It goes from 40, 20, 10, 24, and 18. Supposed to be pretty decent. Anyway, that's a couple questions on this. Meanwhile, one question came up. I was doing some reading and about tuners. It was inspired by the Barra venture by Jim K2ZO. And one of the things it mentioned was it was a normal 5 network tuner. You can get an acceptable SWR, probably a couple different positions between the inductor and the capacitor. And I was wondering, I was going to, luckily Jim is here for that question, how do you tell which is the optimum position when you tune up a regular pi network tuner and trying to get the, you know, get it, everything tuned in? K2ZO, this is K2VR.
K2BAR, this is K2ZO. Well, there'll be a lot of solutions. In fact, with a pi, with the inductor and the two capacitors, you will have a number of different solutions that you could have. What's going to happen, if you look at the math involved, the Q changes in the network. So what happens is that with a certain set of conditions, with high inductor and low capacitor, you'll have a very high Q, which means that you won't be able to QSY very far. If you remember, I discussed in tuning up a tuner that you wanted to have the higher amount of capacitance in and the lowest amount of inductance, not zero as you were doing, but the lowest amount of inductance that solves the equation. And there you go. But you could actually calculate all of this, but it would take a little bit of math. But what happens is if you think about it, if the impedance of the antenna is not going to change and the impedance of your radio is not going to change, what has to change? The Q of the circuit. Back to that. K2ZO.
W2TGT.
Go ahead, Gordon.
Yeah, that brings up a second issue. Jim, the other night when you made your presentation, which I really enjoyed, by the way, one of the thoughts I had was if we could annotate each of those diagrams that you were going through to basically put underneath of them bullets of whether they're high pass, low pass, whether they're good for high impedance input, high impedance output, things like that, and, you know, basically characterize them and, you know, give even some sample values or value ranges for, let's say, 40 meters or something like that, or, you know, 80 to 20 or something like that. But anyway, it's all related to this. Because I think that would be instructive if we had them like in a little flashcard format where here's the picture, here are the typical values, and oh, by the way, here are its characteristics. Because you were buzzing through that stuff and it was awesome, but man, keeping it in our heads was tough.
Now, I should probably take that whole thing and make a PowerPoint about it. I mean, I have reams and reams of info. I mean, we could have started on the Smith chart, and I would have bored all of you to death, and we could have explained R plus or minus JX and lost the rest of you. I've done it that way before and put everybody to sleep. But yes, maybe it might be a good idea to put some notes together that people could refer to and later on. But to do it in front of an audience, no, it's not going to work. Back to that.
Thank you. Anybody else have any questions or comments on this subject?
Well, you see, TGT, I wasn't suggesting that. I was suggesting something like a PowerPoint that we could actually refer back to later. Because that was just outstanding, you know, and it looks like this, just characteristics. You know, we don't need to go to the Smith chart dance, but if we had, you know, some basic template of what you're going to get out of using circuit X, Y, or Z from a performance viewpoint, you know, and then, you know, I think that would be just huge.
I thought it was fantastic too. It got me thinking. Anybody else? Pardon the barking in the background. Why is the XY feeding the dog and the cat? And she always barks when it's dinner time. She always gets fed at 9 and 9. 9 in the morning, 9 at night usually. Okay, my next question is on a 66-foot taillight window off the said center dipole, which is fitted to one wing is 25 foot, the other wing is 41 foot to make 66 feet. So it's unusual because I see some of them claim it's supposed to be at the one-third mark, some even less, not 33%, but 28%. This is fed approximately 38% if you did the 25 and 41, which is something to look for some comments on. The other thing is it has a 10-foot vertical radiator with a basically a current choke. They call it a line isolator that allegedly radiates, and they claim, in effect, that they have horizontal, and on the website they claim that they have an upside-down vertical antenna with the top part being, in effect, the ground plane and the vertical part being down to the line isolator. I have a little trouble swallowing that. So that would be my first question. Somebody to comment. Does that sound logical?
K2Z over the comment.
Go ahead, Jim.
In that antenna, I have seen that antenna, and let's just go back to the full-size antenna. The full-size antenna, which ends up being a full 135 feet long, has a 40 foot and a 90 foot sections on it. In that discussion on the original Carolina Wyndham, what they said was that it really wasn't resonant on 15, and when you used the balun, you had some radiation from the feed line. So what they did was they put a choke down the 20-foot section, which basically was resident on 15 meters, okay, 21 feet, F wavelength, whatever. What I don't understand is how can they claim the 10-foot does the same thing? You don't need that, but you can get the SWR down on one you build by merely taking a 20-foot piece of wire and coming off that same junction. That will act as a decoupler for the 15 meter energy, so it won't ride down the feed line. Back to that case, who's that a
question?
Go ahead, question. This is K2BR.
So, Jim, if I don't want to use a current type balun or a line isolator, can I simply take 8 turns of coax and spin it at that point and achieve the same result?
Most probably. What they do in the Carolina Wyndham is in that little piece of plastic, they just take the RG8X and wind it on a ferrite rod. So that would work. But the easiest thing is, instead of doing that, is just take another wire of 20-something feet long, whatever that length of that line is to where they put the choke, and attach it to the antenna on the long side and bring it over and just, you know, like a fan dipole. And it'll stop it. It'll stop any of that radiation. Works fine.
Repeating
that with 300
ohms, please, Jim.
There's a long leg.
Gordon, go again. I think I
won. And you bring that extra piece of wire, as you say, set on the same side of the coax as the long leg, in the and hang it out in the general direction of the long leg, like a fan dipole. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and that's exactly what I did, and it worked fine. And getting back to Gordon's, to the question that Noel had. Yeah, you can have it upside down vertical. Not sure that they have an upside down vertical with that discussion there of what they say the thing does. But if you make a vertical and you have the radials at the top and the antenna hanging down, it'll work fine.
Now for a much more interesting question to get to this car to wrap your head about. Okay, this thing is off-fed center, off-fed from the center. It has a hanging point right there. It's very nice. Because of my unique arrangement here, I'm going to wind up putting this up as an inverted V rather than a flat top. Should I put the actual center of the antenna at the 33-foot mark as the peak, or should I put the what they call the ATU, antenna tuning unit or whatever the heck it is? You know, it's got the like piece of foamy pipe with the hanger on the top and the coax hangs down from that. Should that be at the highest point of the inverted V? Anybody want to answer that one?
This K20, actually both will work. I'm not sure about the difference in the radiation pattern, but remember when you're not high up on, higher than a half wavelength, on the lowest frequency the antenna is set for, you really don't have the typical dipole response. So the radiation is more of a blob than anything else, with a lot of little points on it. But that is a very good question, and I don't know how to really model that. But I do know it works okay in both because of the one I have. If you remember, I have one where I don't worry about balance because I feed it with open wire line. I feed it with 300 ohm line, and off it goes. And yes, you'll see a lot of different discussions about that antenna. But if you look, there are people talking about using 9-to-1 balance, 6-to-1 balance, 4-to-1 balance. And you can optimize the antenna at one band, and it may not work that well at another band. Well, it'll work, but it may not have a good SWR. I don't worry about any of that. I just feed it with 300 ohm transmitting twin leads at that off-center point where the impedance is about 200 ohms or so, and it works fine, as you've seen. Go ahead.
Well, I read a comment someplace that you put up a regular inverter V, you feed it at the center. And they said, on this comment, that it's really a half-wave dipole, like any wave dipole. Therefore, the physical center of the antenna, about the 33-foot mark, should be spot where the highest point is, that your inverted V, and about whatever number of feet away it is, in my case, 25 feet, so it's 8 feet away, would be down a slope, because the wave pattern on this is going to be like any other dipole, even though you're feeding it at a different spot. So their comment was, put it as an inverted feed with both sides being equal, and the coax will be hanging down, in my case, 8 foot from the high point. Back to you, Jim.
That's true on the fundamental frequency where the antenna is indeed a half wavelength because it's like any other dipole. The only reason you're feeding it off center is to provide a reasonable impedance at all of the other bands. In which case, it's not a half wavelength dipole and it has a very different response. But yeah, I think you're right. It'll work either way. And I don't think you'd be able, if you did it as a test and put it up 30, 40 feet, I do not think you would really see a difference.
I think my peak's going to be at 42 feet. And it's going to be a very shallow dipole, inverted V. My low end's going to be at 35 feet, I think, on both sides. Thank you, Jim.
Well, you too, TTT. Okay, good.
Is there any way you can get that speed point up another 10 feet?
what happened is the tree guys came in last year, and I went to Home Depot and bought some nice plastic pulleys, and I bought some of that really nice coax, about 1,000 foot, but not coax, something of the heavy polyester that's supposed to last 20 years, hopefully, cord. And three guys, I gave an extra $100 and a nice cordless drill. And they drilled a 3/8 inch hole in the tree, about 3 inches, put in a 10-inch 3/8 eye bolt that I had previously pre-assembled with these pulleys and the rope hanging through them. I think I got 11 of them. So my points are where my points are. I really am not going to be comfortable in... Right. Nobody's going to climb that tree. The three guys did. They put it out on a limb. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. I don't think it's practical for me to start shooting arrows over the trees or get Tony over here with his ball launcher. Back to you, Courtney.
Well, I shot a line. I was telling Jim this last week. What? It was 60... in the air, and let me tell you, I had a 40 meter inverted V with the center feed point at, you know, 60 feet, and it was outstanding. It really was. It was amazing how different it was, and I'm figuring 55 feet probably would be close enough, especially since your legs are actually not that, you know, lower, much lower than that. I mean, mine was much more of a V. So, you know, but you know, I can't do it this week, but maybe next weekend, I could shoot a line over your trees for you if you want.
Short bear minus the bare wire antenna. I really didn't want those bare wires going through the tree limb. So where I have it, where it will be, is going to be free and clear and out in the open. Now, if I was using insulated wire, I would be much less hesitant about shooting it through the tree limb. For instance, Tony has a very nice loop around his property that winds around and over. I don't think he has an insulator in that loop at all. K2AMI, this is
K2BR.
Do you have any insulators?
K2AMI, I'm using insulated wire. It's regular electrician's cable that you would, number 12, so you pull through a conduit or do electrical wiring with. But there are no insulators at the end. There is a center insulator, which is attached to open wire. The only insulator I have is at the center point where the loop starts. Back to that.
Exactly. It's nicely put through the wires. The only reason you have that center insulator is to hold the feed line. And if I had that arrangement, yes. But this was a factory-made antenna. I didn't want to take it apart and mess with it. And I actually put it up exactly the way I got it. The only thing that was... we think that the reason it was sold was it probably wasn't performing. And when we took it, he had lots of tape and the coax seal on it. It was really quite gooey. And my friend Carlos discovered that lacquer thinner takes everything off. You cut it down to beautiful, bare plastic on the plastic pipe portions and bare metal. The connections and the coax, everything was perfect, like new. Except the outer shield of the coax had pulled out right at the bottom of the top unit, the, I guess, 6-to-1 bow. So, the 10-foot vertical section wasn't. So, what happened is, dog is eating the castle. Okay, it gets a little interesting here sometimes. Wife just grabbed the dog and left the room. So, what happened is, it wasn't working too well. Tony K2AMI very kindly redid the connection for me, and I'm quite happy with it. Back to you, Gordon.
I got you. So Tony's insulated wire is basically just run through rope loops to make it form into a loop. And he doesn't actually use insulators where the rope contacts the insulated wire. All right. I get that. I probably would have used insulators, but that, you know, it's probably not critical. So running like Boku power. I could see that antenna being interesting, Tony, if you had a high current point, probably a high voltage point in the loop, and the rope got wet. That could be interesting.
He has no rope, except maybe on a feed point. It just goes through the trees, and it's 600 volt regular household wire. No rope.
Oh, you just literally just wrapped around tree branches, Tony?
Hey, 2AMR here. No, not exactly, Noel. What I have is a metal ring at the end of the rope. And, and the wire goes through the metal ring, so the wire can adjust length when the tree shifts. But I have a great deal of problem imagining that nylon wire, whether it's wet or dry, will conduct very much electricity over any great distance. Or, in this case, it would be traveling to a wooden tree trunk or a branch of a tree, not to any grounded object. So I don't think I have an arcing problem. I've never had an arcing problem. I've been up there for 6 or 7 years. And wet ropes or dry ropes makes no difference.
Okay. Your explanation is reasonable. Oh, dear me. All right, back to that WTTT.
My eyes must be playing tricks on me, because when I was over there, I swear it looked like they were going through the tree limbs. So, possibly at the end, he has spots where I couldn't see it. But what I'm saying is, if I was running right through the tree limb, and I would feel happy with that insulation. It's got a nice abrasive resistant coating, and here it would be fine. It's just that I'm afraid to do that with bare wire. And if I shoot it up higher in this particular tree, that's where all the leaves and branches are, and sure, shooting that wire is going to be right next to the nice green leaf. And if I get a high voltage point there, I think I'm going to have some burnt tree branches. Okay, anybody else have any comments, questions, anything for tonight?
Alpha Juliet Forwardski Delta Mobile. Rachel, no questions or comments at this time.
And I just took you off the list of attendees the last time I ran the net in June. She typed very slowly. Rachel, we're getting toward the end of the net. Anything that you'd like to speak about, anything at all? Rachel, over to you.
I just wanted to remind everyone about the Barra picnic on Sunday, and everyone's welcome. I'm not sure if I'm sure it's been mentioned, but I'll mention it anyway. We're looking forward to a great time. I understand that we've got a couple of the guys solicited to be our cooks, and we have some wonderful goodies being brought by all. So it's going to be a wonderful, enjoyable time. I'm looking forward to that. We've got the Ham Fest this Saturday with W2TTT. That's looking to be very good as well. And then the following week is the, Split Rock Ham Fest over in Halden.
Back to that. Well, so it's at the foot of the hill at William Patterson College. It's basically by Gate 1 off of Halden Avenue. It's Camp Veritan, Victor Echo Romeo, India, Tango, Alpha November, Sierra.
25 Thompson Road.
At that point it changes over into Thompson Road, but yeah, basically look for gate one of William Patterson University, and instead of going up the hill into gate one, go the other side of the driveway apron to the right, and you're in Camp Baratan. And I think Tony mentioned most of this earlier, but it's Rampo Mountain Ham Fest next week. This week it's Adventure Cruise 73-73-1. We have the Barra picnic on Sunday. We also have the Ramapo rally on Sunday, which is going to start very early for those of us who are there in the morning and goes to almost dinner time. In any case, hope everybody has a great day. We're going to have our work cut out for us at this bike rally because there are 1,100 people have paid to be there, and most of them are pretty hardcore. So I think we're going to have a busier day than if bikers are doing what bikers normally do in the wet weather. We are going to have our hands full. So enjoy. TTBAR W2TTT.
Thank you, Gordon. Okay, this has been interesting. Does anybody else have any questions, comments, or anything for Danette? Because it's almost time to close. Resounding silence. I'd like to thank the Repeater Association for the use of the repeater and officially close the net and return the repeater to normal operation. Thank everybody for coming. This is N2OEL operating as K2BR saying, good evening. Have a great weekend at the picnic. I'll miss you.
You got any breakfast on Saturday?
This is N2OEL. The wife is, had previously made arrangements quite some time ago to visit her mother and her sister's coming and this and that and the other thing. So we're going to a place near Ithaca. We're leaving tomorrow morning. I loaded up the motor hall, turned on the refrigerator, and she swears she's going to get up and we'll be out of here at 8 o'clock, 8:30. I'm going to go to Sarah Coffee for a little while. She doesn't want to come into coffee. She'll stay in the motorhome with the two dogs. My vicious little monster. I can't stay in the coffee too long because the motorhome will heat up too much. Then we're not coming back till Monday late. So I'll be just in time for the, hopefully, 10-meter net. So I'm going to miss both your Hempfest and the Barra picnic, which I was looking forward to. But if it rains, I'll be happy I didn't go.
Yeah, we're up to about a 50% chance of rain on Sunday, so including overnight and early on Sunday morning. So I'm afraid that we're going to have wet pavement. That's just so much fun. I think racing bicycles and slick roads. It's just going to be a joy. Alrighty, this is where the hams really shine, getting our act together, coordinating stuff. Alright, 73 everybody, I'm going to get out of here too, I got to get inside. And Noel, thank you for taking the lead on the net tonight. We'll chat with you guys later. And Monday there's a, just add one more thing to the things to do. There's an Arc Squared meeting for those are Red Cross minded and they would like people to attend. The dues are free, so it's more like a Red Cross volunteer net or volunteer support activity. So that's something else to think about too out in Fairfield Monday night. 73 TTBAR NTOL W2 TTT off and clear.
Okay, Gordon. Have a good night. I guess you're almost home. So I'm going to be hanging around here. Does anybody else want to chat for a while? This is N2OEL.
Got to get inside and change antennas on my HT. This antenna is something screwed up. W2TTT. N2OEL. K2
K20.
Good evening, James. By the way, I'm running 5 watts of rousing RF power. Of course, I got a decent antenna that's 18 foot tall, so I'm probably making a repeater. There was a comment that on the 440 net, my audio is beautiful, and on 2 meters, whatever radio I was using, the audio is just not enough deviation. And then I pointed out that it's a 208H, it's the same radio, same microphone, everything the same.
Okay, well, you do have sufficient audio here, perhaps not on all the other repeaters. But if you go take a look at the schematic at a 208H, you'll see on the pictorial, by the front of the unit, there are two pots, and one of them is for the deviation on 2 meters, and the other one is for the deviation on 450. Okay, so just because you've got enough deviation on 2 or 450 doesn't mean you have enough deviation on 2 meters. There are two separate adjustments in your radio.
Aha! The plot thickens. Now that I did not know. I wonder if that's going to be in the service manual, or will it be in the regular manual?
It's in the service manual. That's where I pulled the page up from in my head. If you take a look at it, there's a pictorial in there that shows you this pot is for 2 meters, and this pot's for 450.
So I presume you have one of these toys?
Yes, I do.
Uh-huh. Well, I think it's been a constant comment. That's one thing I'm going to do. Change that. Are you mobile?
Nope. I'm talking to you. I'm sitting in front of my computer. Talking to you on a handy talkie.
Oh, okay. I guess when you move a little bit, it changes. But most of the time, you're DFQ.
Well, I should be. I'm not that far from the repeater. You know, it's only on Paramus. It's only like 1.7 miles, the crow flies.
I find it interesting that I have a little trouble. Bengal Lakes is only like S3 here.
That's interesting. Yeah, I would think it would be stronger.
Well, one of the things I happen to, we used to run the race set direct. What is it, 146535. And I had trouble with my original antenna hearing everybody. So next time I replaced the antenna, instead of getting something barely adequate, I went around looking and got the equivalent of a DP9. All 18 foot and allegedly about 90 dB gain on 2 meters and about 11.6 on 440. Of course, to the north, I don't think there's that many hills between me and Franklin Lake. I do pretty good to the north and somewhat to the south. Now, of course, to the east of me, there's that Summit Avenue Ridge, and to the west of me is the Maywood Avenue Ridge, which is another reason I got a really decent antenna.
Well, you've got a good signal into the repeater now.
I'm running 5 watts.
Yeah, I don't think I'm running. Well, maybe I'm running about 4 watts here.
I'll wager you I can't hear you on the input.
Well, I'm sure I could not hear you on the input because I'm only using a handy talkie.
Well, I just did the monitor position, which front and wide open, and I could tell you're there, but I couldn't hear your intelligence. So I could hear you.
No, I didn't take a handy talkie with me down to the shore. down there for 2 days. And I guess you got my comments from the lighthouse going up the stairs.
Not yet. Not yet. I'm just going through my email now as I'm talking to you. Reading really bad jokes. So no, I didn't get your comment yet. Working my way through emails. I was a little bit delinquent today. But what I'm saying is, I'm amazed you're there with an HD, and if you said Morse code, I could tell, I could probably read the code. But with the FM single, I can tell you're there, I can tell you're talking, but it was too noisy to hear what you're saying. I'm just saying that I'm quite a distance from you. I'm approximately a half a mile across Route 4. So, got to be 5-6 miles from you.
Oh, yeah. No doubt you are. I probably would not hear you if I put this over. No, I was talking about the comments I made on the 450 net about the lighthouse, where 2 years ago when I was down there at Barnegat Light, I made it to like the first level, going up the stairs, and collapsed. And since then had the operation on the heart. And I've been dying to go back and try it again. So I did say I ran, but I didn't really run. I jogged. So I jogged up the stairs, the 217 steps on that thing today, and was very proud of the fact that I managed to do that. And everybody got a big kick out of it. Of course, some of them said, don't do it. But I said, no, I'm going to do it.
Wow. And luckily you got the bovine one and not the mine one. So you're still kosher. By the way, I just looked at the long-range forecast. Friday, beautiful. Next Thursday, beautiful. Rain Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
Don't believe it. It's not going to rain. How many times have we had predictions of dire weather, you know? And whenever they give predictions of thunderstorms, you know that those are random events anyway. And even if you did have one, it's not going to last a long time.
Well, we had one the other day that gave us about 2 inches. So we had a heck of a one. The reason I know is I had a bowl sitting out there. What I do is I drive around. And I see these garage sales. I'll go into the garage sale and I'll say, hey, that's a really ugly looking bowl. I'll give you a quarter for it. If they take me up on it, I bring it home and I drill a hole in the bottom of the bowl. You know, since I can grow in seeds all the time here, I'll put either some citronella in it, which supposedly repels the mosquitoes, or some mint. Mint's a good one. A little oregano, some basil, some thyme. I don't have any, tarragon. I don't have any thyme, that's what it is. Anyway, it makes nice little gifts for people. And they say, oh, what a gift. Oh, that cost me a quarter, that's ugly as this.
Oh, that's right. I had a neighbor whose dog used to steal bowls. We'd put the food out for the dog or the cat. And the neighbor's dog would come over here and take the bowl. And I would walk down to the neighbor's house, and there'd be 5 or 6 of them in the backyard. And I would just go through and take out the ones that were ours, bring them back home. And I said to the neighbor, I said, what do you think? And he said, you know, he said, I think he thinks that if he takes the bowl, that the food will magically appear there.
Okay, we got two vicious little monster dogs. They're big chihuahuas, about 13 pounds, and a cat. And what happens is, one of the chihuahuas plays well with the cat that owns me. You don't think so? you should have chihuahuas. They own you. You don't owe them. They're independent, sort of like a cat. So anyway, turns out the other one is a vacuum cleaner. She'll go and push both of the other ones out of the way. Cat and the one that owns me. And so what we've finally done is we put my chihuahua and the cat in the room where I am and close the door. They have a one-way pet door. They can get out, but they can't get in. So we feed them. The other chihuahua eats in the living room. She cleans up her plate, the bowl, comes in here, tries to, but she can't. After everybody in the room eventually cleans it up, so my dog eats like a cat, so it might take a couple hours. And the cat eats like a cat, it might take 3 hours, but eventually she leaves the door open. Then my wife, chihuahua, comes running in, grabs all the bowls, cleans them. There's a big difference between cat clean and dog clean. Runs into the living room and puts them on her couch. And I don't know why.
Well, it's probably to associate that with food. I have a friend of mine who has a border collie, and his dog has a great ability to catch frisbees. I mean, unbelievable what he can do, jumping in the air and catching a frisbee. And I asked him how he trained the dog, and he said that he fed the dog out of the frisbee from the time it was a puppy, and the dog associated the frisbee with food, and then he would toss the frisbee to the dog, and then when the dog caught it, he would put food in it. If he didn't catch it, he wouldn't put food in it. And that's how he trained the dog.
Well, some dogs just love play catch, and you know, there's not much training involved. You throw anything to them. My particular, the dog that owns me loves to play with a ball. The other one loves to play with a rubber ball. So all you do is toss it. And luckily they're small dogs. I mean, if I had a St. Bernard or a German Shepherd in my hallway here, which is all of, but the whole house is... I'm in at 12 feet, so I have 28 feet of hallway. If you include the part that's in the living room, 12 feet. So 16 feet of hallway plus 12 feet of living room. And I throw that ball, and it's long enough for the dog to get up to a good running start. They're, of course, chihuahuas. I wouldn't recommend playing ball in the house. We have to find a special tiny little ball, since they can't get their mouth around a regular tennis ball.
That's funny. Yeah, some dogs like to play, and they just will just drive you crazy. My cousin's got a dog like that. You go over to her house. The first thing that happens is that the dog comes over with the ball in his mouth and nudges you and drops it in front of you. And, of course, she says, he wants you to throw it. And, of course, once you do, then he drives you crazy. But it's funny. But you're right. Some of them just have the, I guess it's kind of built in. You know, they want to chase something.
K4WD.
My dog prefers a soft one. If we try to play with a hard object, she goes over, sniffs it, won't even pick it up. My wife's dog prefers hard objects. So what we got is, they call it, believe it or not, a soft-mouthed dog and a hard-mouthed dog. We got one of each.
Rachel just came in here. Good evening, Rachel. How you doing?
Doing pretty good. I was going to ask you the question with the dog that was trained to catch frisbees. Was that the dog that was used in the commercials? And is that why he trained the dog to catch a frisbee?
No, that's not the same dog. However, he met that guy at one of the shows, and the guy told him that's how to train the dog. So when this fellow's dog, although he's good and has kind of performed, you know, for various different picnics and groups and things like that, he didn't make the commercial. But the guy that made the commercial that owned the dog told him how to do it.
Oh, well, your two dogs, one's a soft-mouthed dog and one's a hard-mouthed dog. Are they related, or did you buy them at different times from different breeds?
They're both Chihuahua mixes, and they're not related from we got them both from the Bergen Ramapo Animal Shelter in Oakland. And they obviously are different looking. Well, my dog has longer fur. My wife's dog has basically, you know, it's more than a quarter inch long. And they're completely different dogs, but it's both Chihuahua mixes.
That's great, because that means one dog won't take the other dog's toys.
Oh, I don't know. My wife's dog is very, very defensive of my wife. Nobody, including myself, can get near my wife when she's laying down. The dog would actually attack. So, both these dogs had early training. So we just put muzzles on them when somebody comes over. They're nasty little suckers.
Jim, it's good to hear that you were able to jog up the Barnegat Lighthouse. I've been up there myself, and yeah, it's quite the feat. They have a couple of short landings, but not very much. So it's basically just circular all the way up.
Oh, that's for sure. Well, 2 years ago, I attempted it kind of as a test, knowing that I had a problem. And I made the first landing, and I could not go any further. I had to come down. And I said to myself, I'm going to do it. It's the first thing I thought of after I got the new heart valve. I said, I'm going to do this. And I've been waiting. And, of course, we were down there with the girls week for 2 days there. So we started training the night before with a drinking contest with myself and the son-in-laws. That's the first time I got in trouble. And then when I announced what I was going to do, I got a lot of negative comments. And I said, no, I'm going to do this. And I did it. And I have a little certificate that I did it, because when I got down, I told the people, and they said, go over to the office. They're going to give you a certificate. And when I went over there, the lady not only gave me a certificate, she gave me a hat. So I was very proud of this whole thing.
Congratulations. This really is a vivid physical reminder of how far you've come.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing. Truly amazing.
Congratulations as well.
Not only that, when I got finished running up the lighthouse and got back over to the house, I took the kids out surfing.
That's quite the testimony.
Well, I figure I can't wait to get back to the doctor, because I know he's going to start yelling at me for stopping some of the medication he gave me. So, well, we'll see.
Well, I got to get going, because I got to go feed the fish and get ready to leave. We're drawing upstate. I'm going to try to convince her to take me to let me go to coffee for a while tomorrow morning. And then away we go for the weekend.
Okay, well, have fun feeding the fish. I got a funny story about crabbing yesterday.
be a good crash. Have a good crash, George. K2ZO, N2OEO. I'll stay safe in the tree. I'll be clear in QRT. And Rachel, don't not to forget you. AJ4WD. Over to you, Rachel.
N2OEL, AJ4WD, 73, and have a great trip up to Ithaca, and enjoy the mini family reunion.
Okay, 73, Noel. We'll catch you later, and have a good trip. Yeah, Rachel, this is a good one. I took the boys crabbing. How about that?
Did you crab the cup?
Well, what happened was we went over, we were at Brant Beach, which is, you know, in Long Beach Island near about 32nd Street or something like that. And over by 25th Street there, if you walk over, there's a place where you can fish and crab and stuff like that. So we picked up a crab trap, and I got the boys, and I had some other cousins with us too, and we caught a fish on just a drop line, and we used him for bait, and we went and got a bunch of crabs, blue claws. They weren't real big ones, but we got quite a few. We got about a dozen of them, and the boys got a big kick out of it, pulling the thing up with the crabs in there. And when we got back to the house, we all decided to go surfing there, because the house had a couple surfboards and a bunch of boogie boards. So we put the crabs in it is what we thought was okay, a bucket, but it wasn't that deep. And we had about 10 or 12 of them. I guess close to that. And we were gone for a couple hours, and then we came back home, and I said, well, I'm going to show you how to cook these. And I look in there, and there's only two crabs left. All the others are gone. Some were in the house. Well, we found three of them. So the people that come to this house next week are going to discover a couple of interesting little artifacts there.
My, oh my. Well, are the boys and the cousins going to be there for a couple more days? Maybe they'll be able to find the other eight or so.
No, they're leaving tomorrow. So we have no idea where the crabs are. They were in this bucket, and they were up in the kitchen, which is in the, believe it or not, the kitchen in this house was in the third level, and this is a four-level house. I'll show you some pictures of it when I see you. Beautiful house. Should be for $10,000 a week. But we had, we had 14 adults and 10 children. How about that?
That is a full house.
Well, it's pretty big. Big place. Yeah, lots of rooms, three bathrooms, and a number of bedrooms. And we had a few extra, inflatable mattresses there. So, yeah, we had some cousins and some friends and a whole bunch of other folks. So we left, and some other others moved in.
Well, looks like you had some gorgeous weather, if it was anything like what we had here. And I'm hoping that you had as much fun as it sounds like.
Oh, yeah, we really did, especially since I managed to do to do the lighthouse. That was my one thing, my one objective. I was definitely going to do that. And got up early and got over there to do it. So there we go. All righty, I'll say 73 to you. I'm going to scoot here. I've got a whole bunch of emails that I've got to answer and a whole bunch of things here. And we'll catch you later. AJ4WD, this is K2ZO.
K2ZO, AJ4WD, 73, have a great night. AJ4WD will be clear.
K2QBZ mobile.
Hey, hi, Joel. How you doing?
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and stay. Tried a couple repeaters. I actually got one to percolate and come back to me. Not the squelch, but a person
I'm doing fine. Just listening to you guys on the way home.
Okay, very good. All righty. Well, this is good to hear you. I haven't talked to you in a long time. And haven't seen you at any of the Barrow flea markets.
I missed the last one. I went to one in Germany. I didn't even know I went to that. But I did. That's the last flea market I went to. The Hamfest. And I missed going to Sussex. But if we're not going away for a while, we're going to go through the summer and not travel too much. So maybe we'll see you at one of them. Do you know what's coming up next anywhere?
Well, I guess this is the Hamfest at Bergenfield, a small one. And I guess the next one is the Hamfest in that used to be the what was it? The one at the Ramapo Valley. Yeah, that's the one coming up on the 20th.
Where is that one?
Over at the college now. They moved it from VFW where they used to have it over there. And now it's at the college. Do a search for the Ramapo Valley Club there, and you'll find the thing for the Hamfest.
I went through an overpass. Where did you say it was previously?
It's in Oakland at the VFW. Remember that, the one there?
That's right near my house. That was nice. I liked that one. I had it once at a church near my house, too. Not near my house, but in Jersey. Okay. We'll do that. I'll look it up. I'd like to go to them. I'm mumbling. I'm tired. I'd like to go to them for a couple hours. All right, you're going to leave. We'll see you later. So long to you. Thanks for picking me up.
K73 Joe. Catch you later. K2QBV. K2ZO.
K2QBV Mobile is listening if anybody else is around. K2QBV Mobile listening. Repeat. K2QBV